Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear viewers, this is the third session of the 15th topic that we began a couple of sessions ago. And if you recall, we have been discussing the various narratives which are supposed to have been referring to the stoning verse, either by citing that stoning verse or by just referring it to it. So we had already seen eight variants of that narrative, or eight ways in which different people have transmitted this narrative, and I had said there are a total of 10 of these. I would say I have categorized them into 10 different categories, and I'm now going to read out before you the 9th and the 10th category, and then inshallah we'll proceed here from here to the next topic, or the next verse, which is also one of the topics of this particular major topic, and that is the suckling verse. But before that, let me now move on to the 9th narrative in this regard. And it has been reported by Zir ibn Ubaysh, and it has been recorded by An-Nisa'i in his As-Sunan al-Kubra. So the narrative reads, An Asim an Zir qal, qala yu Ubay ibn Ka'b, kam ta'udduna surat al-Ahzab aya. Qulna, salasan wa sab'een, faqala Ubay, kanat lata'adilu surat al-Baqara wa atwalu, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ فِيهَا آيَةُ الرَّجْمِ الشَّيْخُ وَالشَّيْخَةُ فَرْجُمُوهُمَا أَلْبَتَّةَ نَكَالًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Zir stated that Ubay said, How many verses do you count of Surah Ahzab? We replied, 73. At this Ubay said, It used to be equal in length to Surah Baqarah and contained the stoning verse. And of course the stoning verse is then mentioned, الشيخ والشيخة فرجموهما البتتة نكالا من الله والله عزيز حكيم. And if this is translated the way it is generally translated, then it would mean when an old man commit adultery, when an old man and old woman commit adultery, stone them at all cost as an exemplary punishment from God, and God is mighty and wise. Now, viewers, the variants of this narrative can be represented in the schematic illustration which is now being displayed before you. It is a rather elaborate and intricate illustration. As you can see, it has a number of narrative and a number of sections, but primarily we can see that in the earlier part, it is transmitted by just single individuals. Now, the basic flaw in this narrative is that it is weak because of the fact that it has been transmitted, or one of the people, or the basic person who transmits it from Zir, is Asim ibn Bahdala, or Asim ibn Abin Najud. We know that from Ubay, the person who transmits it is Zir, and from Zir it is Asim. And it is from Asim that the whole narrative branches out. Now, authorities like Abu Hatim, Ibn Ulayya, Abu Ja'far al-Luqayli, and Adar Qutni are of the opinion that he does not have a sound memory. And this is something which is absolutely apparent, and as a result, this narrative cannot be relied upon. Viewers, in the 10th category that now I'm going to narrate before you, I have grouped Shiite narratives, or narratives which have been taken from Shiite books, and there are four of them, and I shall narrate before you, or recount before you, or each of these four. Now, the first of them has been recorded in Al-Kulayni's Asur al-Kafi, and the words are, قَالَ أَبُو عَبْدُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ الرَّجْمُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ قَالُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِذَا زَنَ الشَّيْخُ وَالشَّيْخَ فَرْجُمُهُمَا أَلْبَتَّةَ فَإِنَّهُمَا قَزَيَا الشَّهْوَةَ Abu Abdullah Ja'far al-Sadiq said, Stoning in the Quran is found in the Almighty's words, إِذَا زَنَ الشَّيْخُ وَالشَّيْخَ فَرْجُمُهُمَا أَلْبَتَّةَ فَإِنَّهُمَا قَزَيَا الشَّهْوَةَ So, which means that when an old man or an old woman, or better translated as a married man or a married woman, the way our jurists generally translated, when they commit adultery, then surely stone them to death, because they are the people, or they are the ones who had satisfied their sexual urge in this manner. Next, viewers, the narrative that I'm going to read out before you is recorded by Abu Ja'far, Abu Ja'far ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Bawai al-Saduq. And this he has recorded in his book Ilal al-Sharai. And the words are, An Ismail ibn Khalid qal, Qultu li Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Fil Qur'an al-Rajm? Qala na'am. قال الشيخ والشيخه اذا زنيا فرجموهما البتته فانهما قد قضيا الشهوه. So Ismail ibn Khalid said, I asked Abu Abdullah, and Abu Abdullah we know is the kunya of Jafar Sadiq. So it is said that the words are, is stoning mentioned in the Quran? He replied, yes. And then he read out the verse which exactly is the same as the one that we have read out earlier. Here's the third narrative that I'm going to read out before you also from As-Suduq ibn al-Babaway. And this has been recorded in his book, Man La Yahzruhu Al-Faqih. And as you can see, it is being displayed before you. And it says, An Sulaiman ibn Khalid Khal, قُلْتُ لِأَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الرَّجُمِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ رَجُمِ قَالَ نَعَمْ قُلْتْ كَيْفْ قَالَ الشَّيْخُ وَالشَّيْخَةُ فَرْجُمُوهُمَا أَلْبَتَّتَ فَإِنَّهُمَا قَزَيَا الشَّهْوَاتِ. So the translation would be, Sulaiman ibn Khalid said, I asked Abu Abdullah, Jafar Sadiq, is stoning mentioned in the Quran? He replied, yes. I asked him, how? He replied, الشيخ والشيخة إذا زنيا فرجموهما البتة فإنهما قضيا الشهوة. So this is a complete verse which I have already cited for you. Now the fourth of these is recorded in Abu Jafar Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Tusi's Tahzib al-Ahkam. And the words are, قال أبو جعفر الصادق خان كان آية الرجم في القرآن والشيخ والشيخة فرجمهما البتة بما قضي الشهوة. Which means the stoning verse, Abu Abdullah Jafar al-Sadiq said, the stoning verse is in the Quran, and then he spelled out the verse, والشيخ والشيخة فرجمهما البتة بما قضي الشهوة. Now viewers, the basic flaw in all these four categories of verses, of these four verses which have been recorded in Shiite books, is that all four of them, as you can see, have been reported by Imam Jafar Sadiq. So Abu Abdullah Imam Jafar Sadiq, and we know that these narratives are munkata, because Imam Jafar Sadiq was born in 83 Hijra. This is as far as the Rajm verse is concerned, or the stoning verse is concerned. And we shall later see, as I said, summarize the overall topic before you. Viewers, we now move to the next verse that we are going to discuss, and that is the suckling verse. And the suckling verse narratives which are now going to be discussed are primarily reported from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And let me just cite a typical narrative before you, and I'll take this narrative from the Al-Jami' al-Sahih of Imam Muslim. The words are, عن عمرة عن عائشة أنها قالت كان فيما أنزل من القرآن أشر رضاعة معلومات يحرمنا ثم نسخنا بخمس معلومات فتوفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهن فيما يقرأ من القرآن. As I said, this has been recorded by Imam Muslim in his Al-Jami al-Sahih. So the translation of this narrative is that Amra reported from Aisha that she stated, among what was revealed in the Quran was that 10 known suckling drops of milk of a child, of milk for a child, will make him a foster son or a foster daughter, and hence make him prohibited to marry. Later, this was abrogated, by a verse which mentioned 5 drops. God's messenger died, and the verse which mentioned these 5 drops was among what was being read from the Quran. So, viewers, as far as the interpretation of this particular narrative is concerned, we can clearly see that amongst our previous scholars, the people who have commented on this are An-Nawawi, who himself, of course, is a commentator of the Al-Jami al-Sahih of Imam Muslim. Then we have At-Tahawi, and we have As-Suyuti. Now, all these three gentlemen say, all these three scholars say, that this verse was among those who were those verses which were abrogated. And Ibn Hajar actually, on the other hand, rejects the verse and these narratives. He says that since the Quran was transmitted to Tawatur, and this report is not transmitted to Tawatur, it is from among the Ahad, so therefore this cannot be accepted. And Nabawi says, he clarifies his position by saying why does he regard this verse to be abrogated. He says that this abrogation actually came very late in the time of the prophet before he died. And since it did not come to the notice of people, so therefore they still thought that it was part of the Quran, and they would read it, that it, considering it to be part of the Quran. But when they were informed that this is not part of the Quran, they left it out. This is how Imam Nabawi has explained his point. But let me, viewers, now point out the critique of Imam Tahawi, who has done an extensive research on these narratives and presented his critique. And his research can be found in his Sharah Mushkilul Asar. Now, his research primarily is based on three statutes. First of all, he says that a sounder narrative explicitly states that these verses had been abrogated. So whereas the previous main narrative says that the Prophet died, but these were read from the Quran, he says that a sounder narrative than that states that these verses have been abrogated. Now, let me read out this narrative before you, and it has been recorded by Ibn Majah in his Sunan, and you can clearly see that this narrative, as I'll later describe the chain of narration, according to At-Tahawi, has a sounder report, is much more sounder than the previous one. So the narrative reads as, "An Amra an Aisha annaha qalat kana fima anzalallahu min al-Qur'an summa saqata la yuharrimu illa ashru az'atin aw khamsun ma'lumat." So Amra reported from Aisha that she stated, "Among what was revealed in the Qur'an and was later abrogated," so this is the important part, "summa saqata," and was later abrogated, "was that only 10 known suckling drops of milk or 5 of them forbid a child to his mother, since the child after this becomes a foster child." So here the important thing is that according to Tahawi, a sounder narrative clearly states that these verses had been abrogated. Summa saqata are the Arabic words. Now, as far as the schematic illustration of this narrative concerned, you viewers, this is being displayed before you. And the primary reason that Tahawi has regarded this to be a sounder narrative is that he says that, as you can see, that this narrative is reported from Aisha by Amra bint Abdul Rahman. And from her, it is reported by Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So he says that Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr is much more sound. He had a sounder memory than Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr, because in the previous narrative, to which he is comparing this narrative and regarding this one to be stronger, we find Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr reporting from Amra bint Abdul Rahman. So he says that Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Bakr had a sounder memory, and therefore this is the reason why he regards this narrative in which Qasim reports from Amra to be sounder. And he says that in this narrative it is clearly stated that the previous the verses of suckling which have been mentioned in the previous narrative, they were abrogated. And that this is a primary critique that he has offered. Now, another point that he has made is that there exists another narrative in which Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari narrates from Amra. And he says that Yahya ibn Sa'id is regarded to be the Imam of Imams of his times. And in this narrative, there is no mention of the fact that the 5 suckling drops were being read even after the death of the Prophet. And he says that had such verse existed, it is impossible to conceive that Aisha would not have informed people about it. This narrative clearly states that, it does not state that these 5 suckling drop verses was still present in the Quran. And the narrative is recorded in Imam Muslim's Al-Jami'us Sahih, and I am going to read out a representative text of it. So it says, "An Amra annaha sami'at Aisha taqul wa hiya tazkuru allazi yuharrimu min ar-raza'a qalat Amra فقالت عائشة نزل في القرآن أشر رزعات معلومات ثم نزل عيزا خمس معلومات." So he says that the point that he's making, I'm going to describe again. Let me first translate this narrative before you. So Amra reported from Aisha that she heard her say, while she was mentioning what prohibits a child because of fosterage to marry the mother, "The verse of 10 known suckling drops was revealed in the Quran, and then also the verse of 5 known suckling drops." So this narrative stops here. It does not say that the Prophet died and it was still being read. The only thing it says that these were the verses which had been revealed. And if this narrative is read in together with the previous one, which says that they had been abrogated, the complete picture which emerges is that these verses were perhaps revealed, but they were abrogated. And the narrative of Imam Muslim, which says that they were still being read while the Prophet had died, according to Tahawi, is not sound, because these two other narratives clearly say that, one of them says that it was abrogated, and the second one just mentions the revelation of these verses without mentioning further, but clearly it also does not say that they were being read at the time of the Prophet's death. Now, the third important point which Imam Tahawi, also let me, viewers, first, before going on to the third point, let me also describe before you the schematic illustration of this narrative, which is reported by Yahya ibn Sa'id, and as you can see that its schematic illustration is being displayed for you. Now, coming to the third point which Tahawi has made, he says that the only person to narrate the five suckling drop verse, the very first one in this regard which I cited, is Imam, is actually Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. From Abdullah ibn Bakr is Imam Malik. So you can see the first of these schematic illustrations, the one which was displayed at the start of the suckling verse narrative discussion, you can clearly see that the only person to have narrated this is Malik ibn Anas, and he narrates it from Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. Now, the point that Imam Tahawi makes is that although this narrative has been reported from Imam Malik, that he is the person who says that five suckling drop verse was revealed, but the point Imam Tahawi makes is that in his own opinion, Imam Malik says that suckling, whether little or more, prohibits an offspring to marry the mother. He does not confine it to 5 or 6 or 10 drops. So had this verse been present in the Quran, Imam Tahawi says that Imam Malik would never have gone against it. He would have cited it, and he would obviously made it the basis of his deduction. On the contrary, the opinion which he has recorded in his Muwatta, Imam Malik himself states that whether little or whether more, whatever the quantity, any quantity which a child consumes, it will make him a foster child. So this goes against what has been stated in this narrative, or at least contradicts it. So these are the three basic points which Imam Tahawi says are, according to him, are the real, present the real picture. And by and large, as you can see, that his stress is on the fact that these two verses, which say that a particular quantity of milk prohibits a child, he says that these verses were revealed, but they were abrogated, because sounder narratives clearly tell us. This is, in a nutshell, what he has said. So, viewers, this brings us to an end to this topic number 15. And in a nutshell, you can clearly see that both these narratives which we have discussed, the first of them discusses the stoning verse, and the second of them discusses the suckling verse. So, viewers, it can be concluded in the light of the above discussion that as far as the stoning verses are concerned, narratives which cite the verse are weak, not only with regard to their text, but also their chain of narration. On the other hand, those narratives which do not cite this text, and even if they are assumed to have a sound chain of narration, they are explicable in the light of the research carried out by Imam Hamiduddin Farahi. And according to him, the reference is actually to verse 34 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And as far as the suckling verse narratives are concerned, a sounder narrative tells us that these verses had been abrogated. So all in all, the issue of incompleteness does not arise in both these cases. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.